Procrastination, the human tendency to delay. Well, 20% of us are procrastinators. A third of all American undergraduates call themselves severe procrastinators. And a staggering, get this, 100 minutes of every workday is squandered away by employees procrastinating. Could procrastination really only stem from laziness? Well, you may think otherwise when you factor in that so many of our greatest inventors, artists, and scientists are considered members of the same club. Author Andrew Santella writes about all of this in his new book, Soon, An Overdue History of Procrastination, from Leonardo and Darwin to you and me. And it's a great pleasure to welcome Andrew Santella to the roundtable this morning. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thanks so much for having me.
What brought you around to the issue of procrastination?
Well, my lifelong procrastination habit. I started the book purely out of self-interest. I was hoping that if I dug deep enough into the history and the psychology and the philosophy behind procrastination that I might find some kernel of information that would justify my habit and excuse my habit.
And? How did it go?
Well, I don't think I ever found that perfect justification, but I did find that, you know, it's such a almost nearly universal habit that I came to feel a little less bad about my lifelong procrastination habit. I certainly felt less alone, and I think benefited from getting to know some of the great procrastinators in history and some of the stories and some of the research behind the topic.
I think it's safe to say that this is a defense of procrastination. You are basically writing this to defend procrastination.
Yeah, I think of it as sort of a plea for tolerance of procrastination. You know, I do think that people should, you know, get their work done, and I'm not advocating complete slackerdom, but I also think that procrastination is just sort of a natural and understandable impulse, a human impulse, you know, and I think we ought to stop feeling quite so bad about it and making others feel quite so guilty about it.
So by doing that, you write about the history of some of our great procrastinators. Before we get into a few of them, what do you think we can learn from their stories about procrastination?
Well, the first and most basic lesson is that even great achievers and geniuses can deal with the same, you know, procrastination issues that, you know, ordinary people like me deal with. And that's, you know, enormously reassuring, because I think so many of us have been led to believe that there's something wrong with us if we procrastinate, and that it's a sign of laziness. And that's might be the one misconception that I hope the book dispels more than any other, that procrastination isn't laziness. It's, in fact, I'd say, you know, procrastinators are some of the busiest people I know. They're like, it's just that they're busy doing things other than the things they're supposed to be doing. And that's often the case that you see in these history, in the stories from history of people like Darwin and Leonardo, that the achievements they accomplish are often the result of time they spend on what otherwise might be considered detours or distractions.
Psychologically, what is going on when we put things off?
that's a really complex question. I mean, there's so many reasons to procrastinate: out of fear, out of anxiety, out of ambivalence. One of the most interesting bits I encountered about procrastination was a term in psychology called self-handicapping. And self-handicapping refers to when I intentionally make things difficult on myself. Say I have a big exam on Saturday morning and I stay out late on Friday partying, and I do that on purpose because I want to provide myself an excuse for doing badly on the exam. So I handicap myself so that if I fail, I can say, well, of course I failed. I was out partying last night. It's a way of, at once you're defeating yourself, but you're also protecting yourself against the fear that if you had really tried on that exam, you still might have failed.
Let us talk about some of our great procrastinators. Frank Lloyd Wright was a procrastinator.
So the story behind Wright is that he was commissioned to do the house that we call Falling Water outside Pittsburgh. Now we think of it as one of the great masterworks in architectural history. But the story is that, upon being commissioned, he kind of did very little work on the project, or at least he put no designs down on paper right away. And it was only when his client let him know that I'm going to be stopping by the studio tomorrow and would love to see those drawings, that Wright kind of got into gear and started producing some drawings. And it's a feeling a lot of us freelancers or contract workers can relate to. The only thing is, there's some question about whether that actually happened, though. It seems that some of Wright's students kind of spread this legend about him coming up with the designs at the last minute, which is an odd thing to think about them wanting to do, because you would think that that would be a bad thing to have associated with you, waiting until the last minute to do your client's work. But they saw that story as an example of how brilliant Wright was, that he could produce something masterful, even on demand at the last moment.
The other thing, too, and maybe I'm reading too much into this, he was married three times, he had seven kids. is there something about that, what do we know about procrastinators when it comes to their ability to commit?
That's an interesting question, and there are, that's part of the fun of thinking about procrastination is getting to speculate about what's going on there. It's never entirely clear what one's impulses are or what, one's motivations are. And so, probably one person's guess is as good as another. The other thing to think about is that Wright, sabotaged himself in his career in some ways, by some of the, he walked out on his marriage and scandalized the architectural community and scandalized society by walking out on his marriage and abandoning his family, and did that sort of at the height of his acclaim early in his career. Did he do that intentionally because he wanted out of his career, and was he intentionally sabotaging himself? You could speculate about that, and that's one of the things that's fun about delving into some of these stories, is trying to puzzle out motivations.
Which, of course, is not to say that all procrastinators certainly are going to cheat or are not faithful. However, it is interesting to look at this being one component of a person's life. Let us go back, however, to the start of our conversation about the defense of procrastination. And that is that if used properly, what do you believe that we can gain from having this as part of our life?
Yeah, I think, procrastination should be kept in check. And I believe that people should, fulfill their obligations and, lead responsible lives. So I don't want to advocate for nonstop procrastination. But I do think that it's going to happen, and it's part of the human sort of experience, and it's a basic human impulse. And so when it does happen, I would urge that instead of feeling bad about it and feeling guilty about it and beating yourself up about it, I would urge that, we should just try to understand why we're doing it and listen to our procrastination, I guess, if I could use that bit of jargon. And so that, think about what projects you're putting off and what that tells you about what matters to you, what your priorities are, or maybe why you might put something off. You try to get to the bottom of those emotions. Maybe it's anxiety or fear or whatever it is. Use procrastination as an occasion for, reflecting about yourself and your values and priorities.
The name of the book is Soon, An Overdue History of Procrastination from Leonardo and Darwin to You and Me. It is published by Day Street. Andrew Santella, thank you very much for being with us. I appreciate it.
thanks for having me. I enjoyed it.
Again, the name of the book is Soon. It's published by Day Street. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.